Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. And welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 23rd on the East Coast, September the 22nd still on the West Coast of the United States. And, well, for most of the rest of the world, it is the 23rd, Wednesday morning. What a weekend it's been. What a beginning of the week it has been. And I want to get into a topic that may be a bit sad or a bit uncomfortable for some people, but I want to bring some dignity to the whole topic. And I have a guest booked for tonight's show who couldn't be with us, and that's what this is going to be about. But I also have a standby guest who has offered to come on the show tonight and engage in an open conversation. Now, we had an idea that we would be talking about something like this, but not specifically what we'll be talking about tonight. If you care about the truth, you're going to really want to listen to what we talk about. Now, I want to acknowledge the folks that may be listening live or on a rebroadcast of this show on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and also the folks at blogtalkradio.com. It is an honor and a pleasure that that these folks would carry our show. And evidently, people are enjoying hearing the truth. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, tonight's guest was scheduled well a month in advance. In fact, his wife was scheduled this September 8th to be on the show, and then
on Radio Network.
Now, I've got some feedback here from somewhere. I don't know where this is coming from. If it's over a microphone or over the feed. So if I sound like I'm having some difficulty, I'm hearing myself three times. Once is enough. Anyway, I was saying that his wife was booked for the show on September the 8th, 2 weeks ago, Tuesday, and she couldn't make it because tonight's guest was in the hospital. He had been diagnosed with a very rare form of leukemia. Something that had begun to be an issue starting on August the 21st of this year and became something that had actually put him in the hospital in the first week of September. Actually, he was in the hospital twice. And it's very unusual. This is we're talking about Don Harkins, the former publisher and co-editor of the Idaho Observer. That's the paper I write for. My exposés on certain presidents and political candidates as to their genealogy have been published in that paper. And really, that's a whole series of articles, not just one article, but it just happened to be something that I found a niche in quite unintentionally. And we publish these articles, and I have to say that the Idaho Observer is known as a truth newspaper. The company's own description describes it as a monthly 24-page tabloid-sized journal founded in 1997. It covers news from the perspective that the proper role of government is to serve, not regulate, the interests of fully informed, self-reliant citizens. Our mission is to reinstate the republic so that good people engaging in peaceable commerce may create a safe and decent country to raise the next generation of self-reliant and self-governing Americans. At $25 a year, the Idaho Observer provides priceless historical insights to better understand the problems of today and serves as a networking tool for activists who are dedicating their lives to fixing them. And they sell sample copies of the paper for $3. But $25 for a whole year subscription to find out things that you're not going to find out in the mainstream media. And we often cover this, that you're not going to find them there because these are the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. It's as simple as that. This is why we feel very strongly that something very, very dark, very sinister was behind Don Harkin's rapid decrease in the quality of his health. He had no reason to be this way physically, unless something very sinister had been done to him. And we're gathering evidence about it, and it will be very compelling evidence, by the way, that we feel that he was silenced. In other words, he was eliminated so that he couldn't go on telling the truth, that his passing would destroy the paper, Right now, I can tell you there's probably 1,000 people that would want to start a paper if the Idaho Observer was going to go down because of this. And I would be one such person myself. Just to carry that torch of light and that torch of truth that Don Harkins represented. Now, I have to say right now that you're probably wondering what the heck happened. Well, we know that there are technologies used against people. We've read about it in many, many books. There are those that have come out of the presidential sex slave aspect of MKUltra mind control, and Bryce Taylor being one such person who's written about these things in great detail. Arizona Wilder. We've heard these things from Kathy O'Brien, and there are others who have come forward, and this is something that has been out there for 20 or 30 years in the alternative media. This is not a new topic, and so we know that these directed energy weapons, as they're sometimes called, are used against people to get them to comply with an agenda, a program. And Don certainly wasn't such an individual, and I'm not saying that the usual methods were used upon him. Something quite different. Something very provable, actually. And what we feel has been done to him is obscene, and it's an affront to God himself. That's how I can describe my feelings about what has been done. Now, who was Don Harkins? Well, I'd written a memorial to him. In fact, it's on my webpage, or I should say website, one of the pages in my website. If you go to breaking news, go all the way to the bottom on the right, and you'll see it says Don Harkins and 1963 through 2009, in memoriam. Click on that button, and that'll take you right to the article, or just go to my news page, and he's at the top of my news page. I describe what kind of person he is, but I wanted to honor what he has contributed to the Patriot movement, the truth movement, the truth, when I say the truth movement, we're talking about many things, not just government, but we're talking about the pharmaceutical companies, the FDA, the oil companies, all the issues that seem to rise and fall like the waves on a shoreline during a storm. They sort of boil up into the public consciousness, and while our attention is diverted, something happens. And Don was the kind of guy that paid attention to what that something was that was happening behind the scenes. Usually it's something that we're not aware of because we're so embroiled in the the excitement that the mainstream would want us to believe. Okay. So, Don was the epitome of an editor. He was a writer's editor, and I would say he was an editor's editor. He had a way of taking the most difficult concepts and explaining them so that anyone could understand what he was saying. And he had a great sense of humor, and he was able to really use that sense of humor being, let's say, politically sarcastic when it was appropriate. And he had a way of doing it that you didn't detect sarcasm per se, but it really, he clarified really what's going on, and he was able to express the average person's emotions about that, or their thoughts, how we see things and how they really are, and which is a very difficult thing to do, because most people don't want to hear the way things really are. They buy into the illusions, and they don't want to work, let's say, to empower themselves. And Don was about empowering people. He was about righting the wrongs that were being done to society. He was, in a sense, apolitical, and in another way, he was very conservative in that he just wanted what was right to occur. He wanted to point out what was actually happening, the things that we don't hear in the mainstream media, and then present it in a way that you could think about it and you could accept it for yourself. Now, he also pointed out, because he was great with solutions, he would point out ways in which we could work together to cause these things to happen. Don was a student of a lot of esoteric writings. He didn't always talk about them in detail, but he would recommend, you should read this, or I read this great book and it was about this, and I see us trying to accomplish something similar in our work. And so he left it to you. If you were going to find out about these things, you'd have to look into it yourself. You'd have to do your own research. And what's wrong with that? Because you educate yourself. You make yourself become more aware. And through that awareness and the wisdom you gain from that, you become responsible. When you become responsible, you free yourself from the constraints of this illusion that's going on all around us, everywhere. And none of us are happy with that, and those things are changing. Don had a way of seeing this. Don had a way of expressing this in his writing and in conversations. When I presented my first research to him, and this was really a sort of a connect-the-dots kind of chronological history of all the big corrupt acts that hit the mainstream media and nothing was done about them. And the culmination of this was the story that became known eventually as Wantagate, the massive corruption that's occurring around the planet, but basically out of New York and Washington, D.C. And that has a lot has come out in that regard, and it's created many, many problems around the world that we're not hearing about. Don was the kind of guy that would listen to what I was writing about. He would listen to my ideas, and he would help me clarify a very, very busy topic, a topic just bursting over at the seam, or bursting through at the seams, with data and information, and it's just too much for somebody to put into an article. And we found ways to bring about the facts without really being tedious with the details, but gave enough that if you wanted to check our work, and I say our work because when I submitted this to Don, he would make sure everything was true before he would even consider printing it. And that is in and of itself is a measurement of what kind of man he was, what kind of publisher he was, and what kind of editor he was. And he loved people. And so in bringing these stories out, he would check my facts. And often he actually brought forth more information from that process. He was that determined to make sure that that this was original work, and that from what I had discerned or what I had discovered through my own research could be compared to other things, so that if I'm making a claim that the original documents are phony, let's say, and that here's why, because there's all this other proof that couldn't be, then Don would sort of jump on the bandwagon and say, I'm really amazed at how you found this. That raises the question, how did you find this stuff? Because no one else is doing this. So he started describing my work as a new model of research. And after a few articles, he got the hang of what I was doing. He had to let go of his traditional ways of editing and publishing in thought, because of the nature of what I was submitting to him as work. And he did that with me, and I'm not saying that he wasn't that way with other people, but in this particular case, I was asking him to do things to put his faith behind what I was doing. And that's really what spurred him on to checking out the facts. But he didn't say, well, you know, Don, you submitted this article, now, you know, I have to check the facts before I can print this. He'd never once said that to me. What he would come back and say is, I looked at this and I looked at that and I did some digging here, and this all pans out. It's the truth. This is fascinating. And then he would do a little bit more work and send me a JPEG, a photo of something that I might not have seen. Sometimes I had and sometimes I didn't. So he was also a source of information. He was a source of inspiration as well, because he could sort of see this work taking shape, much like somebody who's sculpting, and you have this big block of rock, and then you start chipping away at it with a hammer and chisel, and it starts to take a form, and he could see that happening. And he got to where I could just explain the whole essence of the research, how it started, where it went, and what I've discovered. And he could see that process, so that as I was submitting the copy to him, he already knew what we were going to talk about. And I have to say that in the beginning, it was a nightmare to edit my material because of the use of quotes and the use of dates and times and places and things people said, that it had to be there. It had to be presented in the story to understand how this occurred. We're talking about people changing their names or people pretending that they're someone else who they're not. And then arriving rising up and arriving at an ultimate goal of, let's say, the presidency of the United States. And these happen to be the same people that create wars, and have been involved in countless wars over the past 50, 60 years. And it's amazing that they're still walking free, that they haven't been put in prison. But we are at a point in our consciousness where we're going to have to do some homework now. We've lost somebody who is great at bringing all this information together, networking with people, and making sure that this information was truthful. And he's gone, but not in spirit. He's with us in spirit, and we have to recognize our responsibility. Otherwise, his life was meaningless. Now, I can tell you, to his wife, Ingrid Castle Harkins, who is the co-publisher and co-editor of the paper, she is grieving right now. Don passed away Saturday morning at 4:44 a.m. Pacific time. it's the, this rapidity of a disease overcoming anyone and culminating in their death. I've never heard of it happening in such a short time. Certainly something like leukemia would have disabled him. He wouldn't have been able to do many of the things he did. This happened in a very unnatural way. And we know Don's character. We know what his personality was and what his habits were. And he was someone who loved nature and was in tune with nature and worked outside and not stressing himself out. He was very good at handling any stress that printing a monthly newspaper about the truth would put someone under, but he never showed it. He was always pressed for time, but he always had time for everybody. Fielding phone calls on stories and complaints about stories where someone had an issue with the truth being in this paper. So he handled it. He handled it all very well and got the paper out, generally speaking, on time, with sometimes just unimaginable hurdles to overcome. He was a master at doing that and master at pulling people together. And they literally say it's going to take 10 people to do his work just on the paper. The Idaho Observer will go on. And I want to let you know also that the hospital bill that Ingrid incurred was in the neighborhood of $100,000 in a very short period of time. And obviously nothing, none of the treatment that he received there had any effect on his survival. Quite the contrary. But nonetheless, she has this bill. And rather than sending flowers, Don wouldn't even want that. But in this case, if you want to make a contribution in the name of Don Harkins, you can send it to Ingrid Castle. That's, I'll spell her name, Ingri is the first name. Castle, Cassell. And if you want, you can put a dash Harkins, Harkins. It's not necessary, but you can. The address, P.O. Box 457, Spirit Lake, Idaho, 83869. One more time, that's P.O. Box 457, Spirit Lake, Idaho, 83869. And we appreciate anything that you can do. Ingrid's not asking for this, but I am. And I would hope that that you would consider a subscription to the Idaho Observer just as a way of holding the patriot community together by getting the truth out there. Paper's not going to change. It's lost. It's lost their founder, their leader, their inspirational leader, their spiritual leader. And I can tell you, Ingrid is no less any of those things. But when you have two people like that who are very much in love and in the prime of their life and in the prime of their work, to be taken out like that and without each other now is sad enough. And that's how close all of us are to Don Harkins. We have the same sense of loss. None of us can know what it's like to be in Ingrid Castle's shoes, to lose her life partner. But I know her pain. I've experienced it, and I have my own pain to deal with in that area. But the prayers are still needed and appreciated also. And I want to thank everyone that prayed for Don Harkins. Our prayer probably brought him a new life that he has, because he had a near-death experience during all of this and came back and talked about God, which was really uplifting. It was interesting to hear. And I can only say that we're going to miss Don Harkins terribly. We're going to miss the impact that he had on so many lives, so many people, millions of people across the United States. And I also want to let you know that you can get some samplings of the Idaho Observer if you haven't read it. You can go to Idaho-Observer.com. Again, Idaho-Observer.com. And that'll redirect you to pro-liberty-forward/observer. Don't worry about that site. You'll see it. That's where you get the paper. You can look at it online. Years worth of archives. The paper was in its 13th year. And it'll go on. I'll say that. Now, waiting patiently in the background is a good friend of mine who I had asked to consider possibly filling in. This was when Don was still with us. So I didn't expect Don to come on the air, but I thought that we would have been able to get some sort of update as to his condition and that, assuming that he was still going to be alive today. But this gentleman himself is a health consultant and an herbalist and a historian and a musician, and he's a frequent guest on Evident Footprints, and he's my good friend Michael Anthony. Michael, I hope I didn't bore you with my opening tonight.
Hello, Don. Of course not. And very sad with the loss of Donnie. Also, I'm going to miss hearing him as a guest on various radio shows along with Ingrid, because occasionally you would hear him as a guest on various shows.
Oh, yeah. I had him on my show as a tandem many times since the beginning. And they were helpful in getting me on the air in the beginning, too. Right from the get-go. So,
yeah, he seemed like a great guy. No question, his work was phenomenal. And I'm definitely going to be subscribing. It's $25. You can't beat that price for an incredible newspaper.
Oh, yeah. You know, I would get some extra copies when I had a major piece in the paper because everybody wanted one. And I have a friend that's got a coffee shop. And I would take one or two papers there, one for him to take home and one to leave there. And he says, I have to, like, find a way to chain this thing down because they just take it. These people
start. Once you start to read that paper, you can't put it down. It's so informative. And that's the beauty of just dropping them off around so they circulate. So other people that had no idea it existed can get their hands on it and keep passing along.
Yeah, and you know, they had problems. The post office was so slow in getting the paper out in bulk rates, so they went to first class, and they, you know, that doesn't say a whole lot for time either. But you know, pay a lot more money and think that you're going to get it there faster is basically how that works out.
It's supposed to anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say, but it is a little bit faster. It's something to wait. You know, we're working on the final edition of the paper, and I still haven't gotten the one from the month prior, and it was sent out a month early. You know, it was sent out the day it went to press. So, you know, we would actually be talking about the next paper, and I can't even remember what I did the prior month after that, you know,
right.
when you get it a month later. You just can't. Your head's not in that same place.
Sure.
You know, it's history. Well, Michael, you heard this news about Don. You know, what went through your mind? Let me ask you that when you heard that.
Well, of course, very sad as far as losing another great patriot. And, it's definitely very suspicious to me for his age, the way it all came about so suddenly and so quickly, the severity. And so that's suspicious to me, Don.
Now, you, I know you had from time to time read, you know, certain parts of the paper, maybe even the whole paper. Mm-hmm. What is your impression of the Idaho Observer as far as a
It's what all newspapers should be. You know, first the first impression when you get, you know, start, you come across one, acquire one, and you start to read it, I said to myself, every newspaper should be this way, just telling you the truth, and that's all that matters. And the Idaho Observer clearly did that with a most excellent fashion. You just can't put it down because it's just got all the details. You know, the issues I had were covering Rumsfeld with aspartame and the whole background on that, along with many other articles, but very extensive articles, and, you know, clearly demonstrating investigative ability and research ability, along with integrity to publish the facts. Unlike all of the newspapers you see today, which are just like regular mainstream commercial media, all fluff. They give you fake news, as we call it, or snooze. And they keep you in the dark with the real facts and what's all the details behind current events, so you can get a handle on the big picture and what exactly is going on. All the other medias do the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I heard, I don't know if this is true, I haven't been there to look yet, but I heard that they're going to be featuring some of my articles from the Observer on the BBS radio website, right on the, yeah, it's true. I wrote a memorial piece to Don Harkin, so if you want to go to bbsradio.com, just scroll down almost to the bottom of the index page. That's sometimes called the home page. For the network, they've got the schedule and stuff up there, so they prefer to call it the index page. But that's where there's a copy of the memoriam there. And I want to thank Don and Seth for getting that there so people can read what my initial thoughts and feelings were about his passing. Didn't talk about the method as much as I did about the importance of the man and what he contributed to us. So that's there if you want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say also, you know, we have to point out this isn't about my articles per se. I think it's an assault on the truth. It's an attempt to silence a very listenable voice. You know, Don, both in his speaking, as you pointed out, as a guest, and in his writing, he had this really unique way of really driving home a point and taking the edge off of it in terms of syntax. Yet the, you know, the power of the words was still very there, and it brought out the message that he was trying to convey. Ingrid founded Vaccination Liberation Organization, and they do a lot of work there with the Observer. So, you know, this fight is not going to end. I mean, what are they going to do? They're trying to kill people anyway. So, you know, what does anyone have to lose but their honor and their dignity? And
ultimately
fate.
Their soul.
Yes, and their soul, you see, because sure. Ultimately this is spiritual warfare.
Sure it is, and many on the sinister forces, serving the sinister forces, they have sold out their soul to gain material fortune, but it's all temporary, they're fools, we're all passing through here, and on the other side where it's eternal, then those that retain their soul will have the wealth, will have the abundance. But those that have lost the soul, they'll have less than nothing. those fools can't even comprehend how miserable they're going to be.
Well, I think they're getting a taste of it right now, but nothing like what it'll become
right
over time.
Right.
Don,
I will just urge everyone to check out the Idaho Observer if they're not familiar with it. And you'll see, it's a phenomenal newspaper. And $25 for a year subscription, and they're giving it away for the quality of the work. And we all need to support Ingrid now. And Don, even though Don isn't with us physically, as you said, but he's still with us spiritually. He's a God-loving patriot. And their spirits do stay with us on the other side, still continuing on in the work. And we need to support all that effort, because that paper is what we want all newspapers to become. So the more Idaho Observer we see around getting more and more popular, it will force other newspapers, if they want to stay in business, to finally become real newspapers with true investigation, true research, and the willingness to tell us the truth with all the facts, regardless who it's going to hurt. Because the truth only hurts those that are on the wrong side of it. And that's all there is to it. As long as we're on the right side of the truth, it's always welcome news. So whoever it's offending, that's too bad. They're on the wrong side of it. They better get their act together.
Yes. Yes. You know, what came to mind while you were talking, I don't know, you said something that just spurred this memory. When I came up with the Three Stooges Go to Washington as a title for a series on McCain, Obama, and Clinton, he laughed. And he said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? And he said, David Dees put together a picture of the three of them from an old Universal TV set shot that they had made of the Three Stooges, the original ones.
Oh, yeah, great.
And David was able to put the faces to the various characters in the Three Stooges. And then Don came up with a way to name them. Actually, it was a collaborative effort, but it was his idea to give them names. And so McCain, who was in the middle, and that was originally Curly. we called him McCurly. And then, Mo was on the side, on the left side of the photo, and David Dees had put Obama's face there, so we called him Mo Obama. And then Larry, he had within that visage, he had put Hillary Clinton's face in there, and we called that Hillary. So we were able to use David Dees' photo, but he was that way. He had this creative sense of humor that would really drive home the point and sort of make a pun at the same time. He was very, yes, very good at that.
Yes, definitely.
And he was like that in, you know, as an everyday person. He would see the humor in some of the things that we would find, and, you know, some of the jabs that we would take back and forth at each other about either the facts or how we were writing the text. You know, he had this innate ability to understand how the reader was going to see what we were writing. And his concern was that if he's going to give somebody something to think about, it should be based on the truth. You know, and that's sure, the nature of his integrity. And,
definitely,
and, you know, all of that extra work behind the scenes went on. And I'm presuming that he did as much research on other people's work in that context, but I can tell you, based on the nature of my writing, fact after fact after fact after fact, just unending and sort of tying them all together, he really wanted to know that all of that stuff was based in truth. And I would tell him.
Sure. I mean, you know, he's got integrity. His name is ultimately the one on it once it's published. And it takes a lot of effort to verify the articles before he stamps it with his approval.
Yeah.
It's a lot of effort, a lot of time. That goes on behind the scenes, like you said, that people just don't appreciate because you don't see that part of the job.
Mm-hmm. Dan, you know, there were times he would send me, like, a photograph, and he would say, tell me if this is real, you know. So I'd maybe get back to him 15 minutes later or, you know, later that day, depending on how I was analyzing this particular photograph. But I had a way to look at it that that he was unaware of, and when I showed it to him, he was flabbergasted. But then he became very interested in that aspect of photographic analysis. That you don't. There's more you can see than what you just see in the photograph. You can find out other data, and it makes it really interesting because then you can sort of patch things together by timeline, because those things are revealed within the data. And you can also find out some things that tell you what kind of computer or what program produced that photograph. And we would go through that kind of detail in everything that we published, every story that we worked on, at point by point. We would go over everything. He didn't skip over one iota of anyone's work, as far as I know. And yet, he made people want to keep writing and look forward to the next article, because it's about revealing the truth. And there, when sure. You have someone who's absolutely interested in helping you, and his intention is to get that message out there, it's a dream for a lot of writers, for a lot of investigative journalists, and I mean real investigative journalists.
Sure. You know, it's just evident that you get that paper and compare it to any other newspaper, and it's night and day between the differences. One paper, which is the Idaho Observer, is going to be informative, and the other papers are totally rags, nothing informative at all.
That's putting it bluntly.
Yes, it is. I have very little respect for the media because they're mainly all just paid prostitutes. And, I mean, that was admitted in the 50s by the editor of New York Times, I believe it was, on his retirement party they gave him. And I believe his last name was Swinton. And while they were partying and giving him a big toast, he told them all, he said, look, who are you kidding? Just to paraphrase it and sum it up quick, he said, who are you kidding? We all know we're not allowed to write what we really want to say. We are told what to print. We're all paid prostitutes. If we don't do that, we lose our job. That was back in the 50s. That's a great quote as far as I paraphrased it, but that quote from that guy, I mean, that's how it was in the 50s. It's way worse now. I got to dig that up and send it out to you so we can get that going around so people can review that. It's perfect. When you read that, you'll understand why all mainstream media magazines are all garbage, total fluff, snooze, fake news, just to keep you in the dark, mainly all trivia stuff that has no real importance, and you'll never be able to catch on to what's really happening behind the scenes with geopolitical events by reading those papers, just like if you're watching their new shows with the bimbos, whether it's a guy or a girl. They're all overpaid prostitutes to look good, read a teleprompter, just like Obama boy. They can't talk without that teleprompter going. Now, what does that tell you? It's all, you know, it's all nonsense.
Yeah, and they're, you know, it's all based on illusion, really. And,
yes.
And so many people, you know, feel like you're attacking them when you point this out. And that's not the reason we say these things. I mean, it's obvious because there's a lot of confusion, you see, and it's by design. When you have someone who's not telling you what's really going on, and you have someone on the other side telling you what's going on, and one is handling billions of dollars a year, money coming in and out their doors, and then maybe hundreds of billions of dollars, then the other one that's telling you the truth is making nothing, literally nothing. People
that's
tend
how it
to
is.
Say, well, yeah.
That's how it is. We're in their system.
Yeah.
And those that want to, no matter what, have integrity in all they do, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a struggle. But those that are willing to support the system as far as sell it to the public as it's good, it's great, everybody, isn't this a great system we're in? All of those people get paid exorbitant sums. They live high on the hog, easy life. They never get their hands dirty, or the girls never get their nails dirty. And they're getting their makeup done all day long, you know, so many times a week, just to look handsome or pretty for us. Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, Barbara Walters, the bimbos on Fox, CNN, and all the other, MSNBC, and all the other shows, the mainstream ABC, NBC, CBS, Dan Rather, all these clowns, on and on. They never tell us the Federal Reserve is illegal. It's the cause of all our problems.
Don't forget
They're
C-SPAN.
Yeah, yeah, C-SPAN, right. None of them tell us the truth. And so, therefore, I don't care if they get offended when I call them prostitutes. They sold their souls to gain the world. That's how it is. I didn't do it. They did it. I'm just pointing it out. If the truth hurts, well, you're on the wrong side of it. And I have no respect for them because of that. Because of these type of people that won't tell us the truth because they don't want to lose the cushy job, then because of them, our country's in the shape it's in right now.
Yeah.
Most Americans didn't understand the economy was going to crash over the last 10 years because they kept telling us everything's looking great. And so they're the cause of all our problems because the Americans were never, ever astute, understanding what was going on around them so they could be ahead of the game, being prepared for the economic problems, their jobs being sold out to foreign communist countries or slave labor countries. They never seen any of that coming, or the food being contaminated, and therefore they have to be more selective about what they use for food so they can stay healthy and therefore avoid needing one of their doctors in their medical system with their pharmaceutical drug approach, which will just destroy your health further. And so, you know, Don, these are some of the examples of why our country's where it's at right now in this dire situation. And it's all because of these people through the control media that serve them. They have sold their souls to lie to us so they can have an easy lifestyle. And, you know, I just have no respect for them at all. And I would love to tell it to each of them personally, face to face, if the opportunity ever presents itself.
Yeah, that may happen someday.
I hope it does.
You know, I've been following, and Don got very much into this, you know, as a result of a lot of the things that I was writing about or talking about, based on our economy or our educational system or what's going on in the religion and what's going on in politics. And Don was the kind of guy that put himself out there in the public arena as well. He wasn't hiding behind a computer or a typewriter or a printing press. He was actively involved in these things like someone that talks about it. As all of us who are talking about these things, we become activists in many ways, and we go out into our community and talk to other people I can tell you I do that, and I know, you know, several hundred other people that do that. I know other talk show hosts that do that. But it's not just up to us to do all this. And that was part of Don's mission, I think, was to get this out to people. And you know, that paper had a way of multiplying, you know, every edition once it got out there. There were a lot of people, that I was surprised to learn were actually reading it. And I made a lot of friends out of many of the readers, mm-hmm. People that would write in or people that would call in, you know, right there at the paper and want to express how they felt about seeing the truth. And so, you know, this is something that definitely benefited anyone that came in contact with either Don and Ingrid or the paper itself. They had a tremendous impact on a lot of people's lives. And they could see, Don especially could see what was happening to the politics in this country, what was happening to our Constitution. And he resented that these things were allowed to occur and that no one would do anything about it. So he literally gave his life to that cause. And that's no small thing, is it?
No, Don, and that's ultimately what we all have to do in one way or another, regardless of the magnitude. We either live dedicated to the truth, we follow the truth no matter where it leads us, because if it's the truth, you have to pursue it, because it's only through the truth that we are going to be free, as the Lord said. I am the truth, and I shall set you free, and the truth sets you free. And that's why the Americans are in bondage, because they've been in the dark, fed lies for decades. And now our country's in bondage. But all of us individually that have pursued the truth, well, we have much more freedom than a lot of our fellow Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom with health and freedom with economics and all the other freedoms that avail itself to those that are living in the truth. There's mm-hmm. no other way. I mean, we only have two choices in life. We either live in illusion, pretend that we possess the truth, but really we don't. Or we realize there's a lot we don't understand, and we have to find out the answers. And obviously, it's rare sources that will provide those answers, and we have to do the legwork to track it down. Idaho Observer, many great books, all these great publications that are out there, but you notice that they're not promoted by the major media, commercial corporate media. And
no, it exposes their charade.
Exactly.
They don't want that to happen, you know.
Exactly.
They lose advertisers. They lose income.
They'll lose control eventually.
And they lose all that money that they're getting for putting the tripe that they do out in their daily paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you consider what you pay for that privilege of being propagandized and brainwashed, it's obscene, another obscenity being perpetrated on the public.
It's incredibly obscene. It's the we're actually in the Dark Ages. They are the promulgators of the Dark Age. They're trying to get us back into a total Dark Age where we don't have a clue. They're telling us the world is flat and that the earth is the center of this universe, and everybody's going to believe it again if they continue to get their way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been, in essence, it's been a lie that's been told to us. But there's, when you stop and think, if you could put yourself out in space and look down and see everything going on this planet, you know, from the power of the spirit. And you see all the negativity going on and all the deceit and all the destruction and the murder and just all this darkness, like as you described it. But perceive it in a way that you just become the observer, yeah, and you have no emotional tie to it. It would have to appear to be pure insanity. How else would you describe it? And pure evil as well. I see nothing sane about evil. So it's so far from what the creation is about that you would have to, if you did start feeling anything about it, you would pity those that are that way. Yet there are so many that defend it, and so few that see it for what it really is.
Yeah, you come across the fools that will argue that they their perspective is the truth, and obviously they don't have a clue, where they may claim that the Federal Reserve is, you know, legitimate in the government, for example. And you come across people like that, and you have to have sympathy, as I would say. Poor mortals don't have a clue. They're all doomed. And so because of that, you got to have sympathy, knowing they're fools, believing they know something, but they really don't know anything. It's like coming across someone that says, well, I'm a math expert, and yet they can't even do simple math. And this is what we're dealing with, people that will argue that they're experts, and they don't have a clue about the truth on that particular topic. Not even a clue.
Yeah, we have them all over the place, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a proliferation of them.
In every field.
It's compliments of the globalists with their public school system, the government school system, or as I like to hear people call it, the public fool system. And this is what we have. Between them, Hollywood, mainstream media, this is the end result. Bunch of people don't know anything, but they're all experts.
Yeah. And, you know, the people in Congress, in the Senate, for example, that for the majority come out of the legal system, it shows you how corrupt the legal system is, that they go to the place where they make the laws, and they corrupt those laws, and they corrupt themselves in light of those laws that they create. I mean, why is it so difficult for us to see that that's what's going on? That the same fraud that exists in the Justice Department exists in the annals of our Constitution, and how it's not being applied, but how it's being raped and pillaged by organized crime. That's all it can be. I mean, this is outright treason, what's going on. Not to mention all the laws that are created that are routinely broken, and with no consequences to those violating them.
There's never accountability. We're looking at people in our government and institutions, whether it's the judicial, and they lie. They lie right to our face, and they act like we're supposed to accept all that, and as good. And just go along with it. And many Americans have. And again, that's why we're in a mess we're in. They have a subtle technique of brainwashing. Now, they need the mainstream media that they control, the corporate commercial media, Hollywood, all your publications, your corporate publications, and then the public school system, all the way up to college. I have some family members attending local community college, and they're trying to force shots on them. Well, if you don't have meningitis, or do you have, you know, you ought to take a shot just so you don't get meningitis, or you ought to take a shot so you don't get TB. And they're trying to push all these shots on these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the teacher, actually in this one particular class, the teacher saying somebody sneezed in class, and so Some people said, God bless you, when a teacher corrects them, saying, well, we really don't say that. You know? And so then you have, in the discussion, something comes up where the relative says, well, isn't that socialism? Isn't that, which is a form of communism? And the teacher and most of the class gang right up and say, how dare you? Why call it that? It's a great idea. And all that propaganda nonsense coming from this globalist, communist, fascist system as they try to totally destroy our country so that no generation recalls, has a link to their past, to the great history of this country as being a constitutional republic, with all these God-given rights that no man is able to take away. And if anybody tries, then you know that's an enemy you have to hang, because these are God-given rights. And if a man is trying to take these rights away, then you know that's the ultimate enemy to your freedom and well-being. And there's no genteel way of approaching them. You hang them, plain and simple.
You know,
along with the racketeering enterprises.
Yeah.
They have to be hung. And then hold them. This is the accountability that's long overdue in our country. I think of the French Revolution with the they're saying death to the aristocrats. And I see the second revolution in the United States where the slogan's going to be death to the bureaucrats. And yeah. Unlike the French Revolution, which was pathetic, bunch of losers overthrowing the establishment, and they made the country worse. And they gave themselves titles and ranks that they didn't even deserve. France has never been anything much of a country ever since.
Well, we have that same thing going on here today, only it's in the educational system and it's in the entertainment industry and politics as well. You know, they give each other these roles to play to hoodwink the people into thinking that they're so great that even after they leave office, everyone clamors, you know, for their wisdom. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, whenever they're having one of their racketeering meetings somewhere, the media, commercial corporate media, well, the dignitaries have, they're dignitaries, huh? No, they're not. They're indignitaries. They're a bunch of good-for-nothing traitors, crooks, and communist Nazis, along with mainly being devil worshippers. And so... That's right, Don. It's all a facade, and up is down, and down is up. Wrong is right, and right is wrong. This is where they've got us to now. It's really quite pathetic.
You know, I find it ironic, Michael, that this whole system has to be built up on all these different levels and from all these different angles. And one man can bring the truth out by himself. Don Harkins was one such person. Think about that.
That's how it works, Don. It's through individualism that this country was great. Not through the commie collectivism, which has destroyed every country that they tried it in, whether it was fascist Germany or communist China, Russia, or in the Asian countries, or down in South America, or Central America. Wherever they try collectivism, you destroy the country, because we're created by God. We're beings created by God. And therefore, we're an individual identity. That's what makes us special. We have much in common with each other, and yet there's much that's individual, that's like only with that person. And that's what makes us all so special, because we all have various attributes that God has given us. And that's how God works, through individuality. And they're, of course, they know all this, and that's why they're killing it and trying to get us all into this collective mentality.
Yeah. Well, you know, the way, if you use just the Rockefeller family as an example, the way they financed foundations. They created foundations and spread them out all over the world, and giving people that this impression that if it was found out that the Rockefellers actually bankrolled these ventures, they were nothing more than contributors, benefactors, who were interested in promoting science and health and all of that. So what we have is a history of this donating, creating universities, you know, and bankrolling the whole venture, and then coming up with ways to make money off of that, which is what we're going through right now. This is what's contributing to all this corruption. So these things weren't done for the benevolent reasons that we were brainwashed into thinking they represent. These are just more vehicles for them to get cash on hand. You know, they put out a certain amount of money, and over a certain period of time, they make hundreds or thousands of times that initial investment, if not more.
It's all within their system that they've created and perpetrated upon us, and so sure they're profiting while their own agenda is advanced. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. Just like God profits all the time while his agenda moves forward and expands. That's how it is. Somebody's going to profit. But these guys are profiting in a way that steals and robs from people, where God's way of making a profit benefits everything involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the mainstream media will tell us that these scum Rockefellers and all their ilk are philanthropists, you know, and George Soros, a philanthropist. Again, like a dignitary. And that's a crock. These guys aren't philanthropists. They're greedy, miser scum.
Satanists is what they are.
Sure, totally Luciferian. Yeah. David Rockefeller is a son of Satan. If you want to, anytime you think of Scrooge, I think the photograph of J.D. Rockefeller and all of his children and descendants should be displayed, because they're the real Scrooge.
Yes.
They're misers. With all their money, Don, all of their money, if they were really philanthropists, they would be helping and benefiting all kinds of people, but their foundations are strictly designed to do one thing, advance the globalist United Nations agenda. They have no, and which is population reduction, wiping out at least 3/4 of the population on the planet. Now, is that philanthropy?
No, not hardly. And they show up at every stage of anything I'm investigating these days or researching. They show up everywhere.
That's why I go right to the root of the problem, and I always bring them right up. They are one of the main roots of all our problems.
Mm-hmm.
We can attack the evil tree from the limbs and the branches, but it's not going to really get us where we want to be until we go right into the ground, rip it out by the roots, and burn it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be rid of all our problems.
Yes. You know, we've got to end tonight's show here in a moment, Michael. I wanted to refer to something that Dr. A. True Watt mentioned on the show last night, in fact. And he brought up the book of, some pronounce it Jasher, the book of Jasher or Yasher. And, you know, he said he had been reading it recently. I had a copy of it, and I did go back and read a lot of it, and you see exactly what's playing out today in this this chronology, the creation of man and the various stages of each generation and the troubles that they had. It's a huge book in a PDF form. It's like 574 pages. It's humongous. And it really brings home the importance of recognizing what's happening on a spiritual level. You know, this whole problem is that they've been able to get people to identify with the physical body and with concepts inserted into the minds. And so all the consciousness is based on the physical and the emotional aspect, or aspects that attach themselves to physical experience.
Well, they're just trying to keep everything at a material level, Don.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
it comes down to. You see, after the French Revolution was really the first communist revolution. They were known as encyclopedias by the real authorities that knew what was going on. And they were the early form of what we call communists today. Now, interestingly, shortly after that, their next step to subject the world to their evil was the promotion of Darwinism. And I was watching the movie Gettysburg recently, which is a phenomenal movie, and everybody should watch that. You'll watch it over and over. It's stunning. And I was also amazed when the Southern generals were around the campfire and they were talking with the British agent, which another great thing about that movie, they show the British involvement with the South. And they were discussing Darwinism, how it's the most intellectual idea of the time. And that those believing that we're created by a God were now going to become the minority because they wouldn't be considered intellectually astute anymore. Okay, now that was already back in the 1860s, and they were already getting shoving that on us and getting away with it, where good men, intellectual men, were being deceived, allowing themselves to be deceived with that ridiculous theory. And, most importantly, removing God out of their lives. No longer believing they're a divine being created by an almighty power. And therefore, they have a special value, like all life forms, which Jesus taught. And so, there you have it. You know, they've been, this is an age-old battle, and we're really at the culmination of it. It's been going on for centuries. They've advanced their agenda almost to the max, and we're really getting close to the culmination of it all.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to mention that book that was left out of the Bible. It was actually written much later, also. But if you read the direct Hebrew translation, it's pretty remarkable. It's an easy read, but it's easy to look at the symbology in all of it, because you can see, well, you referred to these people as encyclopedias. I think we should
encyclopedists. Yes.
Or yeah, let's rename them in psychopedists.
There you go.
And then we've got it. Well, we've got to say goodnight, Michael. I want to let the listening audience know that you're going to be my guest on Wednesday, September 30th, 2009.
And great time. Look forward to it.
For the whole show. And I appreciate you coming on such short notice tonight. Unfortunately, when we had first talked about this, we were assuming, you know, that Don Harkins might pull through, and he was showing some signs of improving, which is a direct result of all the prayer he was getting, I'm sure.
And let's make sure we continue praying for Don on the other side, that the Lord comforts and blesses him, and also Ingrid and all of her efforts, so she can stay strong and continue on with the struggle of getting the truth out there and coping with her loss at the same time. So we got to keep praying for Don and Ingrid.
Yes. And as for the listeners out there, I intend to produce a reel of clips of the many interviews that Don and Ingrid did on Evident Footprints, and play them from time to time when I feel that some words of wisdom that he shared with us, especially some of the prophetic things he said. He was somewhat of a prophet, too. That's an interesting dimension of Don Harkins that we'll have to talk about on another show. I'm going to make those available for the listeners and the hosts. So, and the guests as well. So Michael, thank you for being on the show tonight. And,
thank you, Don. My pleasure.
Look forward to seeing you on the 30th.
Me too. Thanks, Don.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and, my rant, my tribute to Don Harkins and my special guest, Mr. Michael Anthony. Special thanks go to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying this show. And you, the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join me tomorrow when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi, and have a good night.